Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. In Yeshua's evaluation of the church at Thyatira, He told them that if they continued to walk with Him until the end, either the end of their lives or until the end of the age, that as long as they continued to walk with Him, that He would give to them power over the nations. That's in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 26 through 27. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 through 27, Yeshua says to the church at Thyatira, and by extension, obviously, to us, "To him who overcomes and endures to the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, they will be broken to pieces, even as I have received from my Father." To those who faithfully endure to the end, the promise referred to calls to mind Psalms chapter 2 and verses 8 through 9. So the same thing that we see here in Revelation chapter 2 verses 26 through 27 is something that was first uttered in the book of Psalms chapter 2 and verses 8 through 9. Here it reads, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth shall be your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." This refers to the millennium when the Messiah will establish the kingdom of God on earth. And it refers to the time when he will share responsibility for rulership with the resurrected saints. Let's read about this in Revelation chapter 19 and verses 6 through 8, and then we'll read a couple of other verses. This is Revelation chapter 19 in verses 6 through 8. This is going to help us to see that not only will the Messiah rule in the millennium, but the Messiah will make us co-rulers with him. "I, John, heard the sound of a great multitude saying, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife," which is the church, "has made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed." Now notice this, the church, which is pictured as a woman who is going to be married to the Lamb, it says, "To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." For the fine linen is what? The fine linen represents the righteousness of the saints. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, there was a white horse with one sitting on him called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war, and the armies in heaven followed him on white horses." Now, who are these armies in heaven that follow this one who's called Faithful and True, this one who is sitting on a white horse? And we should even ask the question, who is this one who is faithful and true sitting on the white horse? Well, of course, the answer is, this is Yeshua, the Messiah, the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's on this white horse. He's called Faithful and True. In righteousness, he judges and makes war. But then he says that there are armies in heaven following him on white horses. Are these angels or are these the saints? Well, notice how it describes these armies in heaven that follow him on white horses. It says that they are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, who else could that be except for the saints who were just described in verse 8 as being people who were arrayed in fine linen, clean and white? So obviously, the armies in heaven that follow Yeshua on his white horse are the saints, because we are clothed in fine linen, white and clean, which represents our righteousness, and we also are sitting on white horses. So this shows that when Yeshua returns to this earth at his second coming to establish the kingdom of God, he's going to rule over the nations. He's going to judge and make war. He's going to rule with a rod of iron and break their hardened hearts to pieces with a rod of iron. And it says that we are going to follow him. So obviously, after we ascend into heaven to be married to the Lamb, then we're going to descend from heaven following him on white horses to also go out and judge the nations and make war. So we will be co-rulers with Jesus the Christ. It says in verse 15, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, so that with it he will strike the nations, and he will shepherd them with a rod of iron. If anybody gets out of line, he's going to whack them over the head and get them back in the line. They're not going to be hard-headed after a while. After getting whacked over the head a couple of times, they're going to be real, real eager to listen. Now in Zechariah chapter 14, in verses 1 through 5 and also in verse 9, we're going to see similar terminology here, similar promises. This is in Zechariah chapter 14 and verses 1 through 5, and then we'll drop down to verse 9. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, when your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations. His feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, and it will be split in two from the east to the west, and it's going to make a great valley. The Lord my God will come, and he will bring all the saints with him." Can I read that for you again? It says in verse 5, Zechariah chapter 14, "The Lord my God," and this is speaking of Yeshua, "the Lord my God will come, and he will bring all the saints with him. The Lord Yeshua the Messiah will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah will be one, and his name one." That's a beautiful, beautiful corollary to what we had previously read in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. So now let's return to the book of Revelation, but now we'll read chapter 11 and verses 15 through 18. This is now Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 18. Notice the timing here when we shall begin to take rulership over the earth. It says, "When the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders sitting before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we thank you, O Lord God Almighty, who are and who was and who is coming, because you took your great power and you have begun to reign. The time has come for your wrath, the time for the destruction of those who destroy the earth. The time has come for the judgment of the dead and the giving of the reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to the ones fearing your name." All of that happens at the same time. It's when the seventh angel sounds that seventh trumpet. That's when the dead in Christ will rise. Those who are alive and who are faithful in Christ will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to give reward to his servants, the prophets, and to the saints. He's going to reign over all of the earth as the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah! And now let's drop back to Revelation chapter 5, and we'll read verses 8 through 10. This is just more wonderful truths. This is in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8 through 10. Notice what our destiny is. This is what our office is going to be. This is what we're in training for. Would you like to be a king? We see lots of kings, and you know, they have lots of wealth, but that wealth, it just perishes eventually. and they perish. Every king that has ever lived has died or will die. But not us. When we become kings, we will be kings forever, just like Jesus Christ is now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he lives forever. And his wealth is beyond comparison, the wealth of the entire universe, and we will be co-heirs with him. So the type of kings that we see today, that's nothing. That's peanuts what they have. We are going to be made kings in the kingdom of God. Also, we're going to be priests, not like these puny little priests that we see on earth. We're going to be priests of the Most High God. We are going to live forever. That's our destiny. And this is what it says in Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. It says, when the Lord God has taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having harps and golden vials full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed the saints of God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And notice this in verse 10. And you have made them, these saints, you have made them kings and priests to our God. And what's going to happen? They will reign over the earth. Here you have it, brothers and sisters. Already I've given you four scriptures, and make that five scriptures. Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 5, and Zechariah chapter 14. Five examples already, five witnesses testifying to the fact that our destiny is to become kings and priests, co-heirs with Christ, ruling over the nations in the kingdom of God. This is our destiny. This is what we're in training for. Of course, we should hold fast to what we have been given. We should strive with God to overcome until the end because of this glorious, glorious destiny that we have. And now finally, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, another wonderful testimony of our destiny. This is Revelation chapter 20 and verses 4 through 6. It reads, John saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast nor his image nor received his mark, that mark of 666. They refused to receive that mark on their foreheads. They did not receive it in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. So that's our destiny, my brothers and sisters, to be in the first resurrection, which the scripture talks about. This is a better resurrection. It's a better resurrection because we will have 1,000 years to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. And others who come up in the second resurrection, they'll be given a chance to receive eternal life if they are an overcomer, but they will not have had the 1,000 years to rule and reign with Jesus the Christ. That's why the first resurrection is called a better resurrection. Now let's return to verse 6. It says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. What a wonderful, wonderful destiny we have. And there's one more promise that Yeshua has given to the church at Thyatira. And that is, he says, I will give them the morning star. Well, what is this morning star? We'll discuss that in our next program. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.